Dear friends, we meet to worship God in this solemn service. May the dear Holy Ghost be with us. May he bless souls, move and work in them. And may not one heart be untouched by the gospel of God's grace. The first two hymns were chosen by our dear Sarah. We pray she may be with her, that he may be with her during this service. And may she be enabled to rejoice in following her Lord in baptism. The first hymn is 320. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Hymn 320.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read together from his holy word. Two readings this afternoon. The first, the Gospel according to John, chapter 10. Gospel according to John, chapter 10, and we'll read the first 30 verses. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And now the Acts of the Apostles. Chapter 8. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. And we'll begin reading at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities, till he came to Caesarea. May God bless to us that reading of his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. O thou most merciful, kind and gracious and almighty Lord God in heaven, we gather together in thy house this afternoon with thankful hearts for all that thou hast done for our dear friend. And we do pray, Lord, that as she seeks to follow thee in that pattern that thou hast laid down, we pray that in following she might see no man save Jesus only. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt glorify thy great and holy name as we seek to worship thee this afternoon. And we pray, Lord, for this gathering. Lord, do bless us as we gather together. May thy blessing rest upon the service this afternoon. Lord, and as the emotions of these things recede in the coming days, may there be something that remains, something that abides. Lord, that thou use the things attended to this day for the good of never dying souls. And so, Lord, we thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercy to our dear friend. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with her and bless her as she goes forth in the unknown way. Lord, thou knowest all that lies before. And we pray that she may know thy abiding presence. She may leave today with the answer of a good conscience. She might, like the eunuch, go on her way rejoicing. Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with her as she takes up her cross and follows thee. Lord, we pray that thou wilt bless her and her family. And Lord, we do ask that thou wilt bless the church here with further signs and tokens of thy working amongst them. Oh Lord, there has been a sound of a going in the top of the mulberry trees. And oh, there may be a bestirring of one and another. Lord, that there might be that calling upon thee while thou art near. May there be those who are wrought upon by thy Spirit, do not pass me by. Lord, in blessing one, may I be blessed. May I be brought to thy feet. Oh, may I know that peace which passeth all understanding. Oh, Lord, that I might know that deliverance from my sins. And so, Lord, do remember those seeking, longing souls. Lord, remember those who might look on this afternoon and long for these things. And oh, we pray that thou wilt continue to stir up their hearts. May it be that earnest seeking after thee. Jesus, save me, or I die. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt make thyself precious to each one of us. Oh, we pray, Lord, there might be a viewing of thee this afternoon. Oh, that we might each see no man save Jesus only. Lord, that thou wilt make thyself precious to us each. Precious in the wanting, precious in the finding. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember the church and bless them together and bind them together in the bundle of life. Lord, do encourage them, we pray. Oh, there might be a wrestling for other souls. Lord, there might be those ones laid upon the hearts of each. Lord, that thou wilt hear and answer those those prayers. We ask, Lord, that thou grant them more of these occasions. Lord, we pray that thou strengthen them each and build them up in numbers and in grace. Lord, may there be that gathering in from the congregation. And so we pray, Lord, that thou be with each. We think of visiting friends this afternoon. Lord, we think of those from neighbouring causes. We think of thy dear servants gathered here this afternoon. We pray thy blessing upon each and ask, Lord, that thou art, remember the churches and remember thy people. Lord, we're encouraged to hear of one and another brought by thy mercy and grace to take up their cross and follow thee. And we pray, Lord, that thou go on, thou mighty God, thy wonders to make known, till every sinner bought with blood shall trust in thee alone. So, Lord, do work in each heart. We pray, Lord, if there are those here who are unconcerned, Lord, we pray, have mercy upon them. Oh, that there might be a stirring up of their hearts, a pricking in their heart. It might be, how stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Lord, we pray that thou leave none out, that thou pass none by. Oh, but in thy time and in thy way, thou wilt bring each to thy dear feet as sinners, while it is today. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt have mercy upon us. Lord, we ask that thou remember those, Lord, that we know and love. Lord, who have seemingly gone off into a far-off country. Lord, we ask that thou wilt have mercy upon them. Bring back the prodigals. Lord, who work in their hearts, we beseech thee. Oh, may they too praise thee for redeeming love and blood. So, Lord, do glorify thy name. Oh, we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy beloved Son, in whom thou art well pleased. When we look at our own poor state and condition, how many failings, how many faults. Oh, but Lord, we pray we might each be brought to shelter beneath that precious blood. We might know a cleansing from our sins. Lord, we might know the liberty in our hearts. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And oh, we pray that thou wilt grant liberty at the throne of grace, a liberty as we live our lives, that we might live with that sense of being freed from condemnation. Oh, we might know that liberty which thou, dear Lord Jesus, has purchased for thy people. A liberty to, though we are sinners, still in a body of sin, yet have liberty to live our lives in this evil world. Oh, may our eyes be fixed on that prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, may our eyes be up unto thee daily as we seek to walk out our lives here below. Lord, we pray that thou remember that we are but poor, feeble flesh. Without thee we can do nothing. But we thank thee that there is help laid upon one that is mighty. And though our sins are great, O Lord, and may each one of us be brought to see it, personally, that our sins are great, a great mountain rising daily, yet might we see, oh, the greatness of that love. Oh, that we might know the greatness of that sacrifice for sin. Oh, finding that thou art able and willing. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou art blot out as a thick cloud our sins. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou art have mercy upon us each. So help us, Lord, we pray. We seek to put the crown on thy head for all that thou hast done. Lord, we seek that thy great name might be glorified. Lord, we need thy presence. We need thy spirit to come. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou'lt enter in. And Lord, that thy word this day may be sealed into our hearts. Lord, that there might be those things that remain. That there may be an abiding effect. Lord, that we might be amongst those whom thou didst say, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So help us, Lord, we beseech thee. Lord, do pardon all that thou seest amiss. Lord, and as we leave thy house this afternoon, Lord, and as we prepare for thy day tomorrow, oh, we pray, Lord, thy blessing upon the gatherings of thy people. Lord, that there might be much done in the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. So, Lord, we pray, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously as we ask, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The second hymn chosen by Sarah is 977. 977. Deep are the wounds which sin has made. Where shall the sinner find a cure? In vain, alas, is nature's aid. The work exceeds all nature's power. Hymn 977.
Will you turn with me to our first reading, the Gospel according to John chapter 10. And with the Lord's help this afternoon, I'll speak to you from the 27th verse. Gospel according to John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Gospel according to John, chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The Lord Jesus, speaking simply to those that were around, sets forth himself as the Good Shepherd, uses an illustration which many could understand. Many in their day had seen a shepherd with his flock. Many, no doubt, knew the difference between a good shepherd and a bad shepherd. And here the Lord Jesus simply uses this illustration. I am the good shepherd. And speaking of his dear people as the sheep, those that he would lead, the shepherd in Bible times leading the sheep, not driving them but leading them. And this simple illustration that he uses is such a beautiful one. But beloved friends, he speaks solemnly. He speaks and he divides those that are listening, because those that were spoken to solemnly, sadly, many of them weren't his sheep. He says, I told you and ye believe not. So what is the difference then? My sheep hear my voice. Jesus said, I told you. I told you. You know, there's more to just hearing. They all heard. They all stood round him or sat round him, and they heard. They heard his voice, an audible voice. But there was a difference in the hearts of some to others. There was a difference in the hearing. A difference in the hearing. The same words, but a different effect. My sheep hear my voice. But he says, I told you, and ye believe not. Well, beloved friends, it's solemn, isn't it? Many of you, I hope all of you, I don't know all of you here this afternoon, but I hope all of you hear the preaching of the everlasting gospel. I hope all of you hear the reading of God's word. But in hearing, which group do we fall into? And do these things concern us? Because, beloved friends, he says, I have a people. I have sheep. I have those that are found, believing my word. And does it concern you and I? My sheep hear my voice. Beloved friends, it's a beautiful, it's a precious word. But does it divide us? Does it divide some from others here this afternoon? Does it divide, in families? My sheep hear my voice. Oh, to hear his voice. to hear it more than just the outward hearing. You know, when the Lord, in power by his Spirit, applies his word, he speaks to the heart. He speaks to the heart. You see, in the new birth, a new heart is given. A new life is given. There is a spirit, a new spirit put within the heart of that child. And the Lord speaks to that heart. And the word is spoken to the heart and not just to the head. And I wonder, with you and I, are we hearing and it's speaking to our minds, just our head? Or do we have a religion that's heartfelt, that the preaching of the everlasting gospel speaks to our heart? We find our heart moving and our heart affected. My sheep hear my voice. Well, how do they hear? Well, not that we should set down a long list of this happens and that happens, but there's a common theme that is found in every true child of God, whether it's the conviction of sin first, or whether it's the love of Christ shed abroad first, there will be both things felt. In measure, but both will be felt. Both will be felt in the heart. And it's, that my sheep hear my voice. You know, we hear it to the conviction of our souls. We hear it. You may have heard that you're a sinner, and in the head, I'm sure many of you here this afternoon, you know in your head you're a sinner. Oh, but do you know it in your heart? Oh, do you know the feel the corruption of your heart? It's easy to blame Satan for all your faults, but do you know the fault lies in your own heart? In your own heart? He speaks to your heart. Your heart that's dead in trespasses and in sins. Your heart. He inclines your heart. He tempts your heart. Your heart and my heart, friends. This is where the fault lies. Oh, and have you that burden laid on your heart? That I am not right. That I'm not ready. That I am a sinner. You see, the fault lies deep within. Deep are the wounds. Deep is our sin. And it's our hearts, friends. And my sheep hear my voice. Oh, praise the Lord, dear friends. If you've ever felt yourself to be a sinner, not because somebody's told you, but because you felt it in your heart. There's a difference, subtle difference. Oh, that the Lord would give you and I a heartfelt religion, a heartfelt conviction of sin. Well, you know, it's us individually and Almighty God. This is what we want to trace out in our religion, isn't it? A personal one, not one that's just spoken by another man, but one that is between us and our God. I believe, you know, friends, you can look at, or you can hear, or you can read many sweet testimonies of the work of grace in the heart. And a man has been used in the preaching of the word, and we praise the Lord for it. But you know, there's others. There's other times in that experience where it's the sinner and God. Yeah, how often in their own bed at night or when they're on their own. And there's the sinner, and then there's God. Oh, and there's that working in the heart. My sheep hear my voice. They hear the voice. They hear the word, and it cuts them down, and it condemns them. And as the Lord applies it, they're brought to feel to be nothing at his feet. Eternity has made a tremendous sound to them, a never-ending eternity, and the wretchedness of their hearts. And they see that the solemn condemnation they're in. My sheep hear my voice. They hear the warnings in the word of God. And they sound tremendously, not just in the ear, but into the heart. And the heart is cut down. And the heart is melted, and the sinner's brought trembling. Oh, and it's brought to that place. Give me Christ, or else I die. Oh, my sheep, hear my voice. Oh, what a mercy then the Lord has begun with us. Oh, what a mercy if the Lord has brought us to fear and tremble. Oh, to feel ourselves undone, to feel ourselves wretched. Oh, to find that we cannot, in our own works, weave out a righteousness of our own, finding that our best is stained and dyed with sin. Our all is nothing worth. My sheep hear my voice. They're brought to see that their best is stained and dyed with sin. They're brought to see that any hope that is anything short of Christ Jesus and him crucified is a false hope. Oh, they're brought to see that it's more than just attending the house of God. It's more than just those things. It's that need of a saviour, a need to be made right, and I'm not right, and I'm not ready. Oh, but my sheep hear my voice. And they hear the word of life. They hear his voice. Oh, they're brought to cry out. They're brought to seek for mercy. And blessed be God, he grants mercy. Oh, he who brings them to his feet, able and willing to lift them up. He who puts the sinner into the dunghill. He who brings him to naught at his feet is able to lift him up and set him among princes, able to lift that burden, lift him from that guilt, and free him from that condemnation. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. You see, friends, you know, we have a heart, and we have a mind, and at times the two are out of sync. You know, we have a heart at times, maybe, if the Lord has begun in our hearts, we have a heart that longs after him, but we have Satan working in our minds, who would frustrate, who would put doubts, who would seek to fill our minds with unbelief. Oh, but my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. He knows every one of them. He knows just how they feel. He knows just what they need. He knows where they are. What a wonderful, great and glorious shepherd that is, who knows where they are, what they need, and how they feel. You know, and he seeks them out. And he seeks and he saves that which is lost. And beloved friends, what a wonderful mercy that is. You know, we read, didn't we, together, of the eunuch. Well, I thought of it this morning. My sheep hear my voice. Well, he, with his heartfelt desire, went up to Jerusalem to worship. And we read that he was returning from that worship. And I know them. The Lord knew exactly where he was, exactly what he needed. He hadn't found it in Jerusalem. And he was returning back to where he came from. And the infinite mercy of God to send Philip, to send him to that desert place, to bring the two together, and to bring the deliverance that was so needed. My sheep hear my voice. Oh, what a difference between the dear eunuch's deliverance and, if you turn to the next chapter and read of Saul of Tarsus. We have two accounts, side by side. My sheep hear my voice. Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, seeking to cause havoc, to wreak havoc in the church of God. And the Lord cuts him down. And we're told that his heart was being pricked, that the Lord was working in his heart. But there was that cutting down, that immediate cutting down on that road. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. What two different pathways. That the road from Jerusalem to Gaza, and the road to Damascus. Two different characters, both sheep in Christ's fold. I know them. I know every one of them. I know their character. I know their disposition. I know how to deliver them. I know how to bring them to my feet. I know how to set them at liberty. I know the 50 pence sinner. I know the 500 pence sinner. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Oh, blessed be the Lord, he does. Oh, that he knows every one of them. And how we should be encouraged this afternoon as we meet together. That still in this dark and evil day, the Lord is pleased to call and to quicken and to deliver. The Holy Spirit is still going about, working in the heart, bringing sinners to the feet of Jesus. That one by one, the Lord is still calling his people, separating the sheep from the goats, bringing them out for his honour and his glory. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They follow me. You see, the sheep are, well, they learn through their experience. As the good shepherd so lovingly, so tenderly, so carefully cares for them, they're brought into an increased knowledge of him. They're brought to trust him. They're brought to see that he cares for them. as he leads them, as he guides them, as maybe he defends them at times, as maybe he brings them into the green pastures, as he brings them at times beside the still waters, or as he at times maybe lays his rod on them and stops them wandering, and as he guides them back, they understand, they're taught, they learn that he cares, and they learn his voice. Others that they will not follow. Why? Because they know his voice. No, and that's it, isn't it? Do we know his voice? No, as he, and I don't mean now in an audible voice, although we mustn't limit the power of God to speak audibly to one and another. But do we know times when we've heard his voice through the preaching of the word? The preachings come right where you are. Do you know what it's like to come into the house of the Lord, to hear to the profit of your soul, and to leave different to how you came? To come in maybe burdened with a providential thing, and to be leaving the house of the Lord feeling, your heavenly Father knoweth. My heavenly Father knoweth. He knows all about me. He knows what I need, and I can leave it in his hands. You felt a little lifting as you've left his house. You felt your heart move toward him. Maybe you've come in feeling dry and dead and cold and lifeless. And maybe in the singing of the hymn or the reading of the word or the preaching of the word, you felt a little lifting, a little warming, a little drawing to the Lord Jesus. As Christ Jesus is preached and spoken of, there's been a longing, a stirring, a desire in your heart. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Oh, that I might know that I was one of his. Oh, that I might know that he died for me. Oh, that I might know that my sins were laid on him. As the great ransom, the sin bearer, that the glorious Saviour of the church is preached of, his sin atoning death and sufferings. Oh, and it's let my name be upon his heart. Oh, that he died for me. It is all I desire. You've known a lifting or a drawing of your heart. You've known an enlarging of it. You've known a warming of it. Like the two on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus himself drew near and went with them, their hearts burned within them. Not their minds, their hearts. There was something heartfelt as Jesus himself, not just drawing near, but speaking, communing with them. Oh, and they felt a moving in their hearts, a warming in their heart. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear through the preaching of the word, but then at times they hear through other things. The Lord sees fit to use circumstances, that the Lord brings one and another into difficulty. Maybe the Lord brings one and another into time of deep sorrow, deep distress. But maybe it's loss with our dear friend. She felt the loss. And that the Lord has used these things. My sheep hear my voice. You know, the world is troubled. The world's full of trouble. Beloved friends, there's one clear difference between the trouble of the world and the trouble of the sheep of Christ. Oh, there's maybe no difference in the strength or the distress or the greatness of the trouble, but the trouble for the sheep of Christ's fold is a voice to them. It's a voice to them. At times the Lord uses it. At times the Lord speaks. It's more than just trouble. That the Lord, we use a word, don't we? Sanctifies. He applies it. He takes the thing that they're passing through and it becomes his voice. There's a voice in it. Maybe it's a voice of correction. Maybe they're doing something wrong. And this trouble is because they've done something wrong. It's like a rod. It startles them. It awakens them. Maybe they're slumbering, they're sleeping. Maybe they're wandering off. The Lord uses this. Maybe there's something wrong, like Achan. There's something that's wrong in their lives, but, oh, the Lord uses it. You know, friends, may you and I be found when we living our lives, maybe be found seeking that the Lord will speak to us. I believe this, that if you're walking in something that's outwardly wrong or inwardly wrong, the Lord is going to use that for your and apply the rod to you. When that trouble comes, you'll feel it. Oh, there'll be I know. Because not all trouble is the rod. Not all trouble is the rod. At times, the trouble that we see is not the rod of correction. At times, the trouble is to bring us nearer. At times that trouble is to bring us to his feet. At times that trouble is to draw us nearer to him in prayer. Oh, at times it's to bring us into a greater knowledge of him. It's to cause us to call earnestly upon him. But the Lord will interpret. The Lord will show. No, we mustn't look at someone's trouble and say, oh, they're doing wrong. The Lord must apply. His sheep hear his voice. Oh, it's an unmistakable voice. It's an unmistakable voice. And they learn the sound of it. They learn to discern it. They learn to love it. They learn to long for it. Oh, and when they feel at times it's been a long time since they heard his voice, oh, they mourn the silence. Like a child, the dear children of the Lord, they long to hear him. Say again to my soul, I am thy salvation. They long to be told they're loved. They long to feel that encouragement. Oh, they're living souls. And living souls long to hear. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. They follow me. Now there's a following him. He leads. He causes them to hear. He teaches them, he instructs them, he guides them, he counsels them. He demonstrates to them, he persuades to them his love. He shows them, persuades them that they're loved with an everlasting love. Despite all their fears, their doubts, despite all that Satan would tell them, they're brought to cast their everlasting soul upon him. They're brought to trust in him. Faith is given by God. Oh, that they lay hold of those precious promises. And as he applies them, and as he speaks them, and as he leads them into them, and as he makes himself more and more precious, they follow him. They follow him. Well, are we seeking to follow him? Our dear friend this afternoon is seeking to do just this. We believe she's heard his voice. She's heard his voice speaking in her life, but speaking into her heart. She's been brought to pray unto him, to call upon him. He's led and taught her, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And she's following him. This is the pattern that's given. The Lord Jesus has laid a pattern for his people to follow. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Beloved friends, his sheep following have proved that his commandments are not grievous. For he's leading them. And he strengthens them. He gives enabling grace. And he said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Says our dear friend this afternoon, she takes this open profession. She takes this open witness to you all this afternoon as she seeks to follow her Lord. As we at the close of the service go down into the baptistry pool, we follow the pattern laid down. We follow the way Jesus went. And this is a baptistry pool this afternoon. We don't believe it's washing away any sin. Our dear friend isn't here this afternoon because she's free from sin. She's not here this afternoon because she feels to be perfect. She is here because redeeming love and blood and mercy has drawn her. The love of Christ has constrained her. Her hope is in the precious sin-atoning death and sufferings and death and glorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And this is what is set forth this afternoon. This is the grave of our Lord Jesus. Her witness this afternoon is that she goes down into the water. And she's immersed beneath the water. And she dies to her past life. And she rises again out of the water. And she goes on her way. And the type is, as Jesus died and was laid in the tomb, and on his soul were all his saints. And so when he triumphantly rose from the dead, they too rose with him. And her hope, a good hope through grace, is that her name was upon his heart as he rose triumphantly from the grave. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And how can they follow? Oh, it's leaning upon him. This is not the end. This is the beginning for our dear friend this afternoon. This is the beginning of her profession. And if she's spared to live to a good age, it'll be many years of profession. But how can she When she's living in a body of sin, leaning upon her beloved. Oh, leaning upon him day by day, seeking for grace, seeking for mercy, seeking for strength, seeking more faith, seeking more love, seeking union with him. She must follow him and follow him closely. And that's her desire. Oh, she wants union and communion with him. And it's following him. Them that honour me, I will honour. Oh, and she has a sense of joy and gladness and unspeakable gratitude for his free and sovereign mercy to her as a poor dying sinner. Oh, as he's given her that encouragement, as he's given her that mercy, as he's lifted that burden of her sin. Oh, and she follows in love. Oh, what can I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? She seeks to put the crown on his head for what she has, what he has done for her never dying soul. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Well, Philip asked the eunuch asked Philip, didn't he? He said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, not with all thine head, with all thine heart, thou mayest. Thou mayest." And he answered, the eunuch answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And our dear friend, if she stood up this afternoon, she would say the same. From her heart, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Well, plainly here, his footsteps tracing, follow him without delay. Gladly his command embracing, lo, your captain leads the way. View the right with understanding. Jesus' grave before you lies. Be interred at his commanding, after his example rise. Amen.
Our closing hymn is 427. After the hymn, we'll remain standing to witness the ordinance of baptism. And after Sarah has been baptized, we shall sing the doxology, "Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, praise ye the Lord." Hymn 427. Jesus, and shall it ever be a mortal man ashamed of thee? Ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine to endless days? Hymn 427.
Thank you. seeking a word from the Lord to give to you this afternoon, I believe you led me to these words in Genesis chapter 15, in the first verse. Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. That fear not. Well, I believe this word is personally to you from the Lord, as it was when the Lord spake it to Abraham. So this afternoon, fear not, Sarah, I am thy shield. You've a profession to walk out. And, oh, there's an enemy who will seek to attack, but fear not, I am thy shield. The Lord Jesus, that sovereign protector, that shield, may you be granted the arm of faith to lay hold of that shield and find that safety and that shelter. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. In Christ Jesus, you've found him exceeding great. His mercy to you as a poor, dying sinner, how exceeding great his mercy toward you. And that mercy is unchanging, and that mercy is forever. And as you go on, to know exceeding more mercy, you'll need more mercy as from time to time you fail him. You'll find him exceedingly merciful as you come again to his feet. You'll find his love exceedingly abundant and exceedingly great. And you'll find him exceedingly able to strengthen you. Oh, how able he is to carry and bear you through day by day as you walk out your profession. He will defend you. He'll protect you, but he'll bear you up, he'll carry you through, and bring you safe at last. Fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. How he's able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all we ask or think, and will never fail you. My dear sister, as we follow the pattern as we read, Philip and the eunuch went down, both of them into the wood. Philip baptized the eunuch in the water. So the command of Jesus Christ, on your testimony of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Commanded, and yet there is room. Lord, may it please thee to be with Sarah now as she goes on her way. We pray she might go on her way rejoicing. Lord, that thou remember each who are gathered here this afternoon, and that each might feel in their hearts Oh, that same faith and love. And two, be brought to take up their cross and follow thee. Lord, have mercy upon us each as poor, needy sinners. Pardon all our sins. Wash us in that fountain open for sin and for uncleanness. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.